my name is Martin. Welcome back to another video. Where are we today?
Newton Heath, Lock 69.
Lock 69 on the Rochdale Canal. They are replacing lock gates. We've got a fascinating insight for you into the work that's involved in replacing a lock gate. So here we are, just further down from where the work's taking place. They've drained this section of the canal. The Canada geese are all a little bit confused, but we're going to take you up there now, just beyond the main road, and show you all the work that's involved. So here we are, it's winter time and the Canal and River Trust are undertaking the usual maintenance that they do along Britain's canal network. Like I say, this is Newton Heath in Manchester, Rochdale Canal, and what they're doing is they're taking out old lock gates and putting in new lock gates. Just take a look at the extensive preparation work they've had to do for this site. Fish rescue, dam up the canal and all the scaffolding work. And not only that, there's a massive crane on site as well. Proper challenge this, the location of where it is and everything.
Right, so let's go and take a look into the lock. These things always get me because they're like, just vast, just like into the depths.
Okay, so as we get to the bottom of the lock, you'll see the old lock gates have already been removed, awaiting the new ones. Bit of a difficult access, this one, for the Canal and River Trust, because you see the modern bridge above there? Well, that's Church Lane, Newton Heath, and that's open. There's cars and pedestrians walking along there and everything. As we turn the camera around, you'll see the other side of the lock, and you'll see a little bit of overflow coming in from the canal just beyond there, and there's pumps there just pumping that out. This is local to us. This is a place called Newton Heath in Manchester, Lock 69 on the Rochdale Canal. To replace the two lock gates, the work that is involved is, for me, staggering. Obviously, to these guys, it's something they do all the time. But the initial fish rescue, the draining of the canal, the reusable parts off the old lock gates and putting them on the new lock gates, and obviously, 300-ton crane just down behind the camera that they've had to put in place as well. Fair old bit of work, and this is ongoing all over the country, or it will be during the winter season when a lot of the maintenance work on the canals is done by the Canal and River Trust. So while we're down here and we're watching what's going on, I want to show you some detail. Now remember, I'm no expert, but I'll try and explain what I saw and what was told to me. There's a recess there, and when the lock gates are open, they fold into that recess there that you can just see. I was fascinated as to why there was brick at the bottom of the lock. You'd have thought it was stone all the way. Now whether something shifted over time and they've had to replace that stone with a brick fascia, I'm not quite sure, but these things are very, very old, you know, 1790s, so they can see a fair bit of shifting of land over time, so I'll learn later in the video. That's where the lock gates were, against the wall of the lock. But I want to draw your attention to this. See the sill there? Look at the bottom there. Look at the circular thing there. That's what they call the pot, or the cup, as we will learn. And that's what the gate sits into. That's, I don't want to say the hinge, but that's the bottom of the hinge, if you like. The lock sits into that. Fascinating stuff, and we'll see some of those later on when we go to the workshop where they made the lock gates. But great to see it all taken away, because we're going to learn how it all goes back together.
Just been asking the question, why is the crane such a height on the crane? Well, it's got a stretch from there where they've had to park it to over here where the actual the lock is, so it's going to be a long reach on it. Right, boys, like a pig in shit down there, scooting around for things. Come out of that mud! What have you found? Right, bring it up here. Right, what have you got?
Well, a British gun.
Hey up.
And a British grenade.
We found, is that? What's that? Is that a pretender?
Yeah,
mate?
That's a toy.
Yeah.
And that's a toy.
So is there. We found a gun. Gun's found. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you the dam that they put in place when they do these works. You've seen it before. I think you've seen it on the river that we did. Same old thing, fabric dam with just an A-frame of metal really to hold it in place. This is it from one side. There you go, it's just fabric, and you'll see the original overflow there. It's coming in handy at the minute because you don't want an overflow there.
Now, sitting rather forlorn on the canal bank are the old lock gates, and you can just appreciate the size of them here, quite massive. These are waiting to be taken away. But as you will see from the date on them, as we can see from this plate here, they were manufactured in 2001. And the rolling programme that the Canal and River Trust do is to try and replace lock gates every 25 years. It's deemed that they've come to the end of their use after 25 years. So, just round the corner, the new lock gates are arriving. So looking at these new lock gates, for us it posed the question, where are these lock gates made? Turns out the Canal and River Trust have got two workshops in England that make the lock gates. And so we visited one of them and it required us to go on a trip to just outside Wolverhampton. So we've come to Wolverhampton, Bradley to be precise. This is the Canal and River Trust workshop down here in the Midlands, and they make lock gates. So we're going to go round, get a tour round, and see just what it takes to make a lock gate. So we'll go inside here now and take a look at the skilled workmen that are doing the work of making lock gates. So before we take a look around the workshop, we better start the tour in the right place, which is out in the yard where the wood initially comes in. So Simon, this is where all the raw material comes in. Mixture here of oak and, did you say green? What was it called?
Greenheart. Greenheart's a tropical hardwood.
Yeah.
Not used that often because it's there are some sustainability issues with it. But the greenheart we've used for these gates is actually recycled, came out of an old docks. Somewhere, not too sure where, and it's a recycled timber. But generally, it's green oak, European, well, British oak, but also European.
Yeah.
But we tend to go for the British oak, again, around the sustainability. We don't want to be transporting from abroad if we can help it. And it's also British is best.
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah.
Comes in around about 10 millimetres on each side over that we'll order it in, and then it'll pass into the planing machine to be taken down to finish size.
Or so you can just take a bit off just to get it...
Get it to true it.
Right.
So it's not planed to be smooth, it's planed to be square and true along its length.
Got you. So Simon, here at Bradley, at the Bradley Workshops, how many lock gates would you say you make a year?
So overall, we'll make up to 140, 150 lock gate leaves per year for between this site and Stanley Ferry, which is in Wakefield in Yorkshire.
Yeah.
So at this site, we may do 55 to 60 lock gate leaves out of this site. Stanley Ferry is a bigger site with more people.
Yeah.
So they tend to do larger gates and more of them.
Now, not all lock gates are equal. And each lock gate has to be individually made for the lock it's going to fit into. There is no standard fit.
The lock gate technicians then will go out and they will measure the gates and survey the gates. And they'll take 30 measurements, but all of that is done with the canal in water. So they're measuring underwater, in effect.
Yeah.
So it's a very challenging, very skillful, very knowledgeable approach. And they use a combination of existing drawings, how the gates are fitting, site measurements, to be able to determine the size of the gates that are required.
And as a complete novice, you would think that surely you can just use the old drawings from 75 years ago or 50 years ago, but you were telling me there's movement within the actual lock structure, is that right?
Yeah, potentially. I mean, remember, we were dealing with 200-year-old plus structures. There has been movement, there is subsidence. that has occurred over that period. And it's also not to say that the last gates were fitted correctly as well. So we're not just taking it as read that the people 25 years ago had got it right. We doubled in checking
because
the gates are purpose-built, bespoke to that lock. Measure twice, cut once.
Yeah, yeah. Brilliant. Now, from those measurements that are taken out in the field, plans are drawn up so that the chaps in the workshop can make a finished lock gate. So this is the seal, this sits...
Yep, this is the rubber seal that sits across the sill and up the coin. And this is the pintle.
The pintle, so that's what it's called, as Simon calls it. Now, where does that fit? If we go back to Newton Heath, remember when I showed you the cup that sat there? That's waiting to receive the pintle, and that's the weight-bearing part of the lock gates. So it all spins on that. That's what when you open the locks, that's where all the weight's built, born there, and it just spins around on that, basically. So fantastic invention. So we're starting to piece this together, aren't we? Anyway, back to the workshop.
That's the paddle in it. If I say the wrong thing, I'll get in trouble. Yeah, paddle. And you can see where the paddle.
You want me to wind it up and film it?
Oh, you can do, yeah, yeah. Great, yeah. It's great to see the whole thing.
So there you go, next time you see a boater going through the locks and doing all this business, they're winding up the paddle so the water can go through and fill the lock or empty the lock, whichever way they're going. And that's the mechanism right deep down below in the lock gate that's working, allowing that water to make its transition.
So 1,430 kg.
Right. 1.5 ton.
So we had a walk through the stores area, and it was fascinating to see all the metalwork that goes onto a lock gate. But what was even more fascinating is that the Canal and River Trust tried to honour the tradition or the manufacturing style of each of the individual companies that built the canals. You know, each one had a different way of doing things. So each canal engineer, whether it was Brindley, whether it was Benjamin Outram, had different ways of designing a lock gate, or they contracted out to companies back in the day, and they all had their own ways of building a cup for a lock gate or building certain brackets. There's some cups there, or pots as they call them. That's what the lock gate sits in. We saw that at Newton Heath. And they honour that tradition as best as they can, because these things are listed, these lock gates are listed, and so they have to follow with the traditions. And so in a way, looking at this is like looking back in time to those very early days, 200 plus years ago, when canals, people sat down and designed canal locks and designed canal lock gates. So it was incredible. For me, it was almost like going back in time to when canals were cutting-edge technology and with a new way of shipping goods around the country. It just, that's the way I think of it anyway. And so here is the finished product. Probably not changed much over the years from when they were first designed all those years ago. I managed to get an aerial shot of a completed canal lock gate. Absolutely brilliant and fascinating to see. Now, the site here at Bradley has got quite some of its own fascinating history, and Simon's going to talk us through some of it now. So, Simon, we're in a kind of a yard here, and I'm noticing old canal structures over here and one there. There's like a building there. What was that?
So this was originally a basin that came in. So when this was a repair yard where floating plant would come in, they'd come into the basin here and then into the workshop. But the building in the background is the pump house.
This little triangular one here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have two significant pumps that go down 50 metres into the ground and pump water.
50 metres?
50 metres.
Wow.
And the diameter of the shafts are, pipes are kind of yay big.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what that does, it pumps water out of old mine workings.
Really?
Which feeds the canal. So it is one of the significant canal feeds that we have. So those pumps run There's two pumps in there. There's one pump running all of the time, and then at times of high demand, the second pump will come in. There's another interesting point on there, which we can go and show you, of a plaque of a memorial where two people were killed in a Zeppelin raid in 1916.
So there you go, to the memory of Maud Fellows and Frederick Fellows of Daisy Bank, who were killed by enemy action when a Zeppelin bomb was dropped on this spot, 31st of January, 1916. So I find this fascinating. That's the water being pumped up from the mine workings. And as you can see, it then feeds the canal there. Couldn't get over how clear the water was, given the fact that it's from deep down below. It's usually iron stained, isn't it? But there you go, it's quite clear water. And this is a section, I think, of the Birmingham Canal. I'm sure the experts from the area will be able to tell me.
So, Mike, you actually go out and measure the lock gates, is that right?
Yeah, that's my job.
Right, that must be a challenge at times.
It is, because we don't allow the water to be taken out of the lock.
No.
We have to measure the gates underwater. Yeah, I have a long pole with a foot on it.
Yeah.
So, and I can feel the bottom of the gate, and then I can feel where the floor is, each rail, everything. So you can take dimensions from that. They're right. All different sizes. Maybe from the floor to the bottom of the gate will be a set size.
Yeah.
But if the ground is lifting up near the other end of the gate, you might have to jack it up a bit higher.
Thanks for talking to us, Mike. Nice to meet you. And I think you've got quite a fascinating job.
Not for long. Retiring soon.
Oh, good stuff.
Big gates, big tools.
That's a chisel. That's a fine chisel, that, isn't it?
But it's also not about the size of them, because we also use...
So you've got fine work as well.
Finer work as well.
Yeah.
And that's shown also on some of the planes that we use.
Oh, yeah.
So the offset handle.
Oh, yeah.
So that is to stop you from... This plane, normally you would plane along the grain. You never go against the grain, do you? This plane is designed to go against the grain, so the angle of the blade is much lower. And we use this to cut across the tenon to fit them. So this is adjustable, this handle, and it stops you from punching the side of the timber as you pass through.
Right,
and that's why it's designed that way.
Wow. I don't think I've seen one of them since school. People complain, don't they, nowadays about skills and manufacturing, but it's here, isn't it?
So currently the workshop is totally devoted to lock gate manufacture, but that wasn't always the case, because part of it used to be also to do with boat maintenance back in the day.
No longer used as a dry dock. You can actually go down if you want.
Oh, this is the dry dock?
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's no longer used as a dry dock. So the actual area here that we're working on is a platform that we've infilled over the top of the dry dock to give us more space for gate production. So this goes back to the days when this was a repair yard, more than it was a lock gate production. So this is where the boats would come in, and we would drop the water out, and we'd be able to carry out repairs to the boats in a dry dock situation. But the need now is for lock gates, not for
dry docks. For this.
So there'd be big bulk timbers that would sit in these sockets, and they would allow the boats to, as the water was dropped out, the boats would come down and they would sit onto these timbers to be able to work underneath the boat. But now it's used for storage, as you can see, for materials.
Wow.
So boats would have come into the workshop from behind that wooden safety barrier there and into the dry dock to have work done on them.
Paddle on the end of that, and it's down there, and it can drain out this dry dock.
And that's where the water would come back in.
Oh, yeah, so that's how you refill the boat,
So the boats would come in through these shutters.
Yeah.
Into place. These clamps would clamp the boat in place. There would have been three of these originally.
Along the length of the boat?
Over the length of this dry dock.
Yep.
And then once they were clamped in, the mechanism would enable the boat to turn upside down.
Wow. I have never seen anything like that before. That's fantastic.
And here it is in action. They had a picture of it up on the wall in the offices, so I got that picture, and it explains fully how this thing used to work. Well, I would like to give a big thank you to Simon and his team down at Wolverhampton in the Bradley Workshops. I can't thank him enough for the tour round. Fascinating insight. Simon, thank you very much for showing us around in a time where I know it's a very busy season for you. So much appreciated. So, time for us to go back to Manchester and see what's going on at Lot 69 on the Rochdale Canal.
We've got a fish rescue going on. What's that? What type is that?
Perch, isn't it?
Bless it. So it's going back in. Going back in.
So the new lock gates arrive almost in kit form and they're pieced together down in the actual lock chamber. Any final adjustments will be made down there in the chamber. So I'm just thinking those new lock gates will be good now for another 25 years. So you're looking at about around about 2050 when they get replaced. So I think a few of us will have shuffled off this mortal coil by then, including myself. So as we watch the old lock gates being lifted up into the failing winter light, it's worth mentioning that during winter, the canals face a perfect storm of ageing and fragile infrastructure, rising costs and increasingly frequent extreme weather events are causing unprecedented damage. The Canal and River Trust are working around the clock to protect and restore canals, rivers and reservoirs, safeguarding them against the increasing threat of storms. If you take a look at the Canal and Rivers Trust website, you can look to see how you can help. I'm looking to be to try out a volunteer day, even if it's just cutting back weeds or tidying up the canal. I really want to try and get involved, and I'll try and film it for you and let you know about my experience. This is the website, and you never know. Take a look, because if you look in the events, you might even be able to go and find lock gate replacement near you. And if they open it up and do an open day, you can go and have the experience that I've had. You can go down into the lock chamber and take a look. Really fascinating stuff. So a lot of work going on during winter, and well worth you looking at the website to see if there's anything happening near you. So I'd like to thank the team down at Newton Heath on the lock gate project. We were well looked after, given access to all areas. Absolutely fantastic day. Get yourself on that website and see if there's any open days going on or any events going on near you. From the Rochdale Canal, bye for now.